Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lighthouse Radio.
Lighthouse Radio.
With some things that you need to know before you go to bed.
Before you go to bed.
Before you turn the light out, turn it on.
Lighthouse, turn it on.
Lighthouse Radio.
Lighthouse Radio.
With some things that you need to know before you go to bed.
Before you go to bed.
Before you turn the light out, turn it on. Lighthouse, turn it on.
With your host, Tim Knight, with Tia D and Erica Chanel. Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
What's up?
Hello,
what's
hello.
Up? What's up?
Hello.
Hi, Timmy. Hi, Erica.
Hey,
yes. Hi,
Happy
Timmy.
New
hi,
Year.
I just about to say hi, Erica, because I'm repeating what you say. Hi, T. I'm tired, y'all. I'm sorry. Long week, lots of overtime.
It's all
That's
good.
Funny.
Well,
you really started,
hello.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. To yourself.
That's what's up. Well, yes, it is our first show together in the new year, so that is good. Welcome
really?
To 2016. Oh. Yes, it is. It is the first
wow.
show.
Yeah, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's get together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can have a real great time. Does anyone know where that's from?
Not at all.
You know I do. It's from The Parent Trap, the original.
From who?
Exactly.
From The Parent Trap.
The Parent
the original,
Trap.
The Disney
oh.
movie.
Oh, okay. Well... Yeah, well, yeah. So, yes, it's good to hear everybody. Yes, listeners, we definitely appreciate you joining us this year. The call-in number is 323-443-7453. We definitely want to hear from you. We got a jam-packed show tonight. We're going to be having a lot of fun real quick, you know, giving you some entertainment before you go to bed, right? That's the thing. That's what we're doing
here. Turn it
In fact, we had a show earlier today. Ms. Terry Lynn Carrington called in, and I spoke to her earlier today, so you want to check that out. She's a 3-time Grammy Award winner, and she's got a new project out as jazz. So, you know, for those of you who are in the know, then you should know that we know, that you need to know.
Oh.
Before you go to bed.
Before you go to bed, yeah.
Yeah. No, but some
Turn
smooth sounds, definitely some smooth sounds with that. So that's good news. And Stephanie Mills is coming up soon, everybody. So with Stephanie Mills, we got a lot of great guests coming up this season on the Night House. So what's going on? It's I guess MLK Day was yesterday. Question, ladies and listeners, 323-443-7453. Do you actually celebrate MLK Day? And if you do, what do you do? Don't start it.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Us or just the callers?
Well, he said hey, ladies and callers.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't actually celebrate MLK Day per se. I might do a post or, you know, read, you know, something from Martin Luther King to, you know, my daughter. But in terms of celebration and giving back and volunteering, no, I don't do that. And I actually saw on my Facebook page there was a lot of non-black folks who actually participated in MLK Days of Service. So I thought that was nice. How about you, Erica?
I didn't post anything, and I had to work. And I felt like I shouldn't have to have worked, but my company doesn't support. Let's see, what else? I really didn't celebrate, no.
No, you didn't do a thing.
No. I mean, I read, you know what? No, actually, I had saw this really inspirational post In regards to Martin Luther King, I need to find it. But and I had sent it to someone because I liked the way what it had said. But now I can't find it right now. But, you know, we got a little bit of time. Maybe I can find it and I'll read it to you.
We'll be okay. It's all right.
All right.
Okay.
How about you,
right,
Tim? What did you do?
Well, let me address both of those statements. And first and foremost, thank you for your candor, as we are black people on a radio show predominantly catering to black people. And we both have acknowledged that we don't actually do anything for Martin Luther King Day. But that's okay. Erica, question. If you were all, would you have done something?
Probably not, which is not right. And I did see, like, my cousin, she lives down in North Carolina. She had did some type of celebration at some type of park. I did see that. So, you know, it filled my heart up seeing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Won't he do it?
Okay. All right. Well, actually, I did not. Actually, I also was, working, so I was not able to participate. But I think it's time that we change that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I have noticed in the past, like you see, that a lot of, you know, non-black people actually do things in the community on this day. Like, they're, you know, contributing in some kind of fashion. It's like stuff that should be important to us black people. We don't really take it as serious anymore. So I think that's something that I'm going to aspire to do going forward.
Because
it is important.
T&D jumping in here. T&D jumping in. Why don't we just do that? T&D jumping in. You know what's so funny is I found with our people how we should be, you know, giving back and spreading the word of the importance of the day and the significance of it. I think a lot of us feel like it's a day off. Like, literally, okay, this is MLK Day. I'm black, so I get to be off on this day. But you really should, because I've heard a lot of our people say that. Like, it's MLK Day. I'm not working because it's MLK. It's the black day. But it's not. The significance of that day is not just about being black and not having to do nothing. It's really more so we need to do more to inspire more Martin Luther the King, you know?
That's absolutely right. Well, how do you feel about the fact that some of us don't have off that day? Some companies celebrate and some don't.
That's something you got to take with your upper management.
I can't, you know, we can't. However, you're not working. It is. And companies have the right to, you know, do what they want to do, whether they want to. And my company is actually not owned by African American; they're owned by Jewish people. So, and they decided to have that day off, and I was okay with that
because they understand the struggle of the African American. That's why. Well, I did find that quote that I sent to a friend: "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." MLK Jr. So that was my contribution for the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wasn't that inspirational? I mean, it means something to me, you know, on a personal level. So, you know, and I like the fact that it was said by him. So, you know, you laugh if you want to.
Well, you did your part. You did your part now. I mean, because you definitely.
Thank you so much. You asked, I told.
You're right, and you know you did your research. You have uncovered.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yes, we appreciate
it. The due diligence.
Yes, I had to think about who I said that to and what, you know, but
okay.
I found it.
We got you. So let me ask you this: should it be an option for employers to be able to say that this national holiday is going to be recognized or not? Like, is that the case? Like, I mean, can you know at what point? Like, how does that come
about? Think about how things are now. Companies opening on Thanksgiving, on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares anymore. It's all about making the money. Nobody cares, and it's sad. We have nothing as sacred any longer. Remember when we was kids, and it was just everybody was, you know, you couldn't even go to a store. No stores were open on Christmas. It was just like everything was you were just with your family, and that's just what it was. But now it's all about the mighty dollar. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's true.
TV jumping in here. But Christmas is really not celebrated. Like, if anything, I think Martin Luther King holiday versus the Christmas holiday, Martin Luther King holiday is more important to the significance. With the Christmas holiday, we're celebrating an invisible man who climbs into chimney and gives gifts. It's not like we're even going to the root of that. Same thing with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was basically a massacre. We're all sitting around eating turkey like, you know, like nothing happened. Like, where are you headed?
Well, Christmas, we're actually celebrating the birth of Christ.
Christ was not born on January. He was not born in December 25th.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was going to say that. I know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Christmas holiday is not really celebrating Christ.
A real person.
It's not celebrating Christ. It's celebrating an individual person. So if I had to pick a holiday, I would rather be MLK because it's a real person who made significant strides in moving a people along. This Christmas,
so next year you're not going to celebrate. This year you're not going to celebrate Christmas.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, when we're talking about in terms of holiday time off, because that's
know,
what
I'm
we were talking
asking.
About originally.
So you had a choice. You're going to choose MLK Day besides
choice.
Christmas.
Yes.
One at a time. One at a time, lady. We cannot hear you. The chat room is open for anyone who wants to chime in on this conversation. And the number is 323-443-7453. Yes, Tia, you make very a valid point. You know, if you really break that down and think about it, you know, Martin Luther King was an actual person who lived and did something. Now, clearly,
no, I
Santa
totally
Claus
agree with what she's saying.
Really.
I do. I totally
I'm not
agree.
I'm not done. Okay. No, I'm not even talking about in against what you're saying. I'm just saying in general. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Christmas is, generally everything is closed for Santa Claus. Of course, it's not Christ's birthday, but people say it for whatever reasons. But, you know, here's another question I pose to you both and anyone who's listening. I'm going to chime in. Do you think Martin Luther King is would be happy with where we're at today as black people? Do you think that his everything that he has done, okay, everything that he stood for and of course died for, do you think he would be proud today saying like, wow, you know what, I made a lasting impression that really passed on to generations and generations, and wow, you know, this was all worth it?
Erica, go for it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You finished, Tim?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that there's a lot of things that he would be proud of, but there'll be a lot of things he'd be disappointed in. I mean, the fact that he did all he did for the progression of African Americans, and then there's some people who don't take advantage of it. You got people who are taking advantage of the system by being on welfare, who don't want to work. You got these people out here, you know, having babies by every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You got people in gangs. You got us killing and murdering each other. I mean, those are the things that he's definitely going to be disappointed in. I mean, the other things that he'd probably be definitely happy about is that, like, you know, there's African-American billionaires. There's African-American judges. There's people that are, you know, making strides and doing taking advantage of all the opportunities they can because he set forth those things. So there's definitely a lot of negative, but there is a lot of positive. You know, it's bad, but, you know, nothing's going to be perfect.
The yin and the yang, right? Well, yeah. I think this is a good time for us to take a quick little break. I want you guys to check out a song from Miss Terry Lynn Carrington's album. She has, I mean, like this album, let me just say, now, I don't know if you're jazz fans, but if you are a jazz fan, this is going to be really nice. And even if you're not, this might help shape your perception of jazz music. And she basically put a spin on jazz kind of fused with soul and R&B. So she has on
well,
this
that's
album.
Music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Music.
I'm going to play it. I know you chomping at the bit, but we are.
Not chomping at the bit.
But I want to tell them, you know, you guys a little bit about it, and then we'll jump right into it. But on this album, she has Natalie Cole. I mean, this is like last year. So, like, you know, God bless her. You know, she passed on. But she got Chaka Khan on here. She got Jaguar Wright. She got Aaliyah Adams. Like, all the greats. You know what I'm saying? Just great singers. So, I'm going to give you a choice. Okay? And it's got to be 2 out of 3. All right? Do you want to hear?
Without further ado.
No. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a choice. You have three songs that I can play. One of three songs. So I can either play Come Sunday with Natalie Cole, I could play a song called I'm a Fool with Chaka Khan, or So Good with Jaguar Wright. Which do you guys want to hear?
Jaguar Wright.
I'm
going to
go with Chaka.
Chaka Khan. All right. So we got one for Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Either Jasmine or Chaka Khan. I'm not really, don't want to hear Natalie right now. It's too sad. So, we can go with Chaka because I thought about Chaka first. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard from Jaguar Wright in a long time. So, and, you know, she's from the area.
All right, how about this? We'll play Jaguar Wright later on in the show. We'll play Chaka Khan. Sound good?
Amen. Okay.
Yeah, does it? Okay. All right, let's get into it. So Good, Jaguar Wright and Miss Terry Lynn Carrington, who wrote, produced, and put this whole thing together. Let's check it out. Okay, that's enough. I ain't gonna play the whole record right there for you, but that was Terry Lynn Carrington featuring Jaguar Wright. The song is called So Good, and you can check that out at nighthouseradio.blogspot.com. So, ladies, what'd you think about that joint?
I thought it was good.
It was It wasn't as jazzy as I thought it would be. I was expecting a lot of scatting and things like that. But, I thought it was good.
Well, as I said, it's a fusion. It's like jazz and, you know, R&B, soul. It's kind of, you know, her flavor. So I enjoyed it. It was nice.
It's a fusion. It's a fusion.
Yeah, it's a fusion. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it was a good look for Jaguar. She sounded good on that joint, too. So, yeah, definitely check that out. So the other thing I guess we should probably delve into, I don't know if you guys seen this or read about it, but apparently there was an officer in Minnesota, and basically he was encouraging drivers to go ahead and pretty much run over Black Lives Matter protesters. Have you guys heard anything about that?
No,
I have not.
Yeah, this is, real quick, a St. Paul police sergeant was placed on leave after allegedly writing a Facebook post urging drivers to hit Black Lives Matter protesters and telling those drivers how to avoid being criminally charged, okay? Yeah, this is, you could make this stuff up if you wanted to. Yeah, so he's facing an investigation, okay,
What is there to investigate? If you got the Facebook post, and he's literally writing it in black and white, what is there to investigate?
Well, they have videos of the boy getting shot in Chicago running away, and they still investigated. It wasn't clear, so you know how they do. But, yeah, from his notes on his Facebook post, it says, run them over. Keep traffic flowing and don't slam for any of these idiots who try and block the street. Here's the deal. You continue to drive, and if you hit someone, make sure you call 911 to report the accident and meet the cops a block or two away, and you can justify stopping further away. Feared for your safety, since in the past, the people in this group has shown a propensity towards violence. The comment by J.M. Roth, that's what he wrote. Yep. So
the people who have been marching for Black Lives Matter movement, 99% of the time do not have a propensity for violence. Okay? Only time you ever hear about violence, which they never really accurately report on, is when someone is provoked to the point where they're screaming racial slurs in their face. I actually saw something on, I think it was like CNN, or it might have been, it was actually Fox News, and you know how they are. So they were interviewing this young white Harvard University student. Was it Harvard? Either way, it was an Ivy League or upper Ivy League school, one of the top echelon schools. And the student was basically trying to tell his side of the story, but the reporter kept coming back and saying, now, wasn't this person violent to the point that he made another student cry? And he's like, no, that's not how it happened. And he kept trying to revert back to that. And the guy in the student, who was a white student, kept saying, no, you're not even listening. That this happened, the reason why the person started crying had nothing to do with this movement. But they're trying to tie it, and they're trying to put this negative connotation on it, and because they realize the power in it, and no one wants to let go of their power. They still think they got shackles on our feet.
Right. Well,
that's how Fox News does. They feel they make up their own story. It's all about how they their conservative way. So they don't care. Just like you said, he said, you're not listening. They didn't care what he had to say. They bring people on the show so they can try to belittle them and make them look like fools.
Well, just, and this is, I guess to a greater point, anytime you have, black people organizing to do something, to bring about some type of change, the man is upset. Just like the Black Panther Party. You know, they, would have made you think that that was the most hateful group, just a bunch of savages. Such was not the case. But now this is a resurgence of that in a way, going about systematically making changes. They're very afraid of that. And that's the funny thing that we as Black people need to come to understand is that we not only do our lives matter, but our lives actually can make a difference. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to social issues that we face, because by and large, they are afraid of a powerful Black man and woman for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe because they know the history from which we really come from and how powerful we were. at one point in time. And so now it's like we've been conditioned into a certain mindset that they're comfortable with. But anytime you buck that system, it's a problem. So, and you know what, I personally, I am so tired of talking about this whole black and white issue. This is exactly what they want, division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy that we're in 2016 and we're still having an issue with somebody's skin color after all these years. Are we serious? Are we still talking about this? Like, this is crazy. But again, this is the divide, man. This is just some crazy stuff. But,
Can I share a quick story, something different than what our topic has been all night in regards to African Americans? And I shared this earlier. There is a doctor, and a Mount Sinai doctor is accused of ejaculating in a patient's face, and he surrendered to police.
What? Excuse me.
Yes,
what?
He's 40 years old.
Yes, he was in the Army Reserve.
Yes, he's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veteran. Mm-hmm. She subsequently went to the emergency room for shoulder pain. Now,
mm-hmm.
she already explained that she had took, what is that called? It's not
morphine.
The nurse gave her morphine.
The
doctor, she explained to the doctor that the nurse had already administered morphine to her. He gave her some more, and she subsequently passed out. Apparently,
mm-hmm.
while she was unconscious, he fondled her breast. I'm not sure if he had sexual relations with her, but he basically masturbated and ejaculated on her face. When she came to, apparently there was still some semen on her face. She decided to wipe the semen off and put it in a plastic bag for further testing.
Wait a minute.
And then he allegedly did this to another patient as well.
Well, wait a minute. How did she know that there was semen on her face?
Maybe she's experienced with that. Maybe she's experienced and she recognizes what semen looks like. So she said, I know this ain't no semen on my face. And she wipes it off and says, this.
Well, she was incapacitated.
So she was probably in a twilight state because of all the morphine.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably was aware of what was happening, but she couldn't stop it. So that's probably how he got away with it. And she probably was aware that he was doing what he was doing. And he also did this to another young woman. They're both 22 years old. And, something's definitely wrong with him.
Right. So obviously she's saying that she was, coherent to a point where she could see she saw it coming, literally.
Literally.
Yeah. She saw it coming, literally. And the second patient, you're so stupid, I can't stand
you. I'm sorry.
She was there for a severe head cold. So I'm like, how do you end up molesting someone's because they have, you don't need to be touching nowhere down, nowhere else if they got a head cold.
Well, I guess he had to relieve his head. Oh! Hey!
Shut up.
He had to sneeze it out. Had to get to it out.
Oh.
So he should properly,
diagnose. Yes, he had to alleviate the situation. Well, sorry, folks, that was a little bit, a little left field after we're talking about black
Lives matter.
Black Lives Matter. Now we're talking about, semen to the forehead. Okay. All righty then. Now here's something.
Sorry, because I'm laughing because I don't even know how we got there, Erica.
Exactly.
You must have really
wanted
to share that story.
When I saw it,
I didn't even read the story. I shared it.
And we have another friend that was like, how are you going to share the story?
Yeah, I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, no. Because
okay.
I was like, what is this?
Well, we thank you for that. I mean, that was a timely tidbit. Yes.
Okay.
Now, here's something. Since we've already lightened up the mood here, from, Black Lives Matter and Martin Luther King. Here's something that you guys probably already heard today, and I think we're going to take a quick listen. And again, if you're listening, 323-443-7453. And I want you guys to give me your feedback in about a few minutes. Let's check this out. A few minutes longer, actually.
Black Janet Hubbard coming to you, not in a post, but sort of in a post. And I got to say, I've been trying to figure out, do I really want to do this? And yeah, I do. Today being the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and hitting 60 years old, I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't give a kitty. I want to say something about Jada Pinkett Smith asking other actors, black actors and actresses, to boycott the Oscars. First of all, Miss Thing, does your man not have a mouth of his own with which to speak? And the second thing is, girlfriend, there's a lot of shit going on in the world that you all don't seem to recognize. People are dying. Our boys are being shot left and right. People are hungry. People are starving. People are trying to pay bills. And you talk about some motherfucking actors in Oscars. And it just ain't that deep. And here's the other thing. For you to ask other actors and other black actresses and black actors to jeopardize their career and their standing in a town that you know damn well, you don't do that. And here's the other thing. They don't care. They don't care. And I find it ironic that somebody who has made their living and made millions and millions of dollars from the very people that you're talking about boycotting, just because you didn't get a nomination, just because you didn't win, that is not the way life works, baby. Okay? And it's very suspect to me. And I seem to recall, 26, 27 years ago, 25, whatever it was, I don't even remember, but I seem to remember at option time coming to you and saying, you know what, Will, you're the star of the show. Why don't we all get together? And with you, maybe we could get a little raise. Maybe the network, since, you know, the show is such a hit, and you being the star of the show, your influence will help us greatly, like they did on Friends, like white shows do. Remember that? Do you remember that? Because I do. And your response to me was, my deal is y'all's deal. Well, karma must be a bitch, because now here you are. Here you are. You've had a few flops. And you know, there are those out there who really deserved a nod, and Idris Elba was one of them. Lord have mercy. Beast of No Nation was incredible. That man is an incredible actor. You are not. Maybe you didn't deserve a nomination. I didn't think, frankly, you deserved a Golden Globe nomination with that accent, but you got one. And just because the world don't go the way you want it to go, doesn't mean that you can go out and then you start asking people to stand up and sing, "We Shall Overcome" for you. You ain't Barack and Michelle Obama, and y'all need to get over yourselves. You have a huge production company that you only produce your friends, your family, and yourself. So you are a part of Hollywood. You are a part of the system that is unfair to other actors. So get real. Now, for those of you who say, "Miss Huber, here she go, being bitter." Bitches, please. It's not about being bitter. It's about being right. You know, some of us got mortgages to pay. We got bills to pay. We got bigger shit to worry about than the Oscars. The only Oscar I care about right now is Oscar Mayer Wiener with mustard and relish. And on that note, Black Chick Janet Hubbard signing off. Peace, baby.
Okay. I did hear that today. Yes, indeed. And is anybody else feeling a very Whitney Houston-ish vibe?
Yes.
Here?
Very, she is sounding like her.
The crack,
like,
vibe,
what?
Yeah.
Yes, crack is whack. Frank is black. Okay.
I was going to say something to y'all about the fact that, you know, since we were on the whole black thing, the whole boycott, you know, because, you know, Al Sharpton's boycotting as well. Spike Lee, you know,
no one's checking for you, Al. No one's checking for you. We can barely see your skinny self.
Hold on. Let me back up.
Workshop.
It's backtracking. What? Excuse me. He's bootlegging. What? Bootlegging. Excuse me.
He's they're boycotting.
Protesting what?
They're boycotting. See, Janet Huber is mad with Will and Jada. Well, you know that goes from. You know, way back.
Wait a minute.
She's
No. Hold on. I got to go back. Al Sharpton is helping them protest against the Oscars?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they feel like there's no diversity. There's no diversity, and that's why Will and Jada's mad because Will didn't get nominated for Oscar for the movie Concussion. He got nominated for the Golden Globe. And, you know, now Al is boycotting and Spike Lee is boycotting, you know, because there's no blacks being represented except Chris Rock, who's the host. They feel like the Academy is, who's the voters, the Academy, they're not diverse. Even though the president of the Academy is an African-American woman. She did come out
with
a statement.
She's newly appointed. She's newly appointed, though.
Now, that actor, I believe he is English, but he is African. Well, he's not African American. He's English, but he's of
black
descent. But yeah. the one who played Martin Luther King in Selma, he said that he had a long conversation with her, the president of the Academy, and she said, oh, next year we'll do better, and now it's next year, and there's no better.
Well,
here's the thing. I don't. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Here's the thing. Okay. Because for Jada and Will to say that, I agree it should be more diverse. Should Will have gotten an Oscar nod for that concussion performance? No, absolutely not. That was not one of his best performances. So they need to stop with that. So if that's what they're really mad about, stop. Secondly, it is an award show. Okay? They are entitled to choose whoever they want to choose. Do we want to see more blacks chosen? Absolutely. But Jada and Will are also in a position where they have a production company where they could be working with studios and getting more movies made for black actors. So why are you just thinking about, because Will didn't get nominated now, and I kind of agree with some parts, if we're supposed to say we shall overcome for Will, because he didn't get nominated for Concussion with his bad African accent, because it was not good. Even in the trailer, it's not good. It wasn't good.
You saw the movie?
It's not good.
I heard he wasn't good.
Go ahead, Tim, please.
I believe that I also could possibly be nominated for an award.
I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I agree. I agree with Aunt Vivian that there are bigger issues to deal with in the world. Outside of who won a freaking Oscar. Who cares?
You sound like Copenhagen.
No, I definitely agree with, Aunt Viv. Like, I mean, in the grand scheme, who cares? I mean, that's an award.
Yeah.
You're rich. You got millions of dollars. I was listening today. I forgot the lady's name. She was on, I think, Not Steve Harvey. Yeah, one of these shows. No, Tom Joyner. And she was a black filmmaker, and she did, like, some incredible stuff. She had her book was number one and a lot of good stuff. And she has, like, name-brand actors that are willing to come on board. She's having trouble finding the funds to create this movie, which is only $5 million. Now, here, Jada and Will don't have that kind of problem. Y'all don't have to be begging people to make no movies. I'm saying y'all have the wherewithal to do whatever you want. So, like she said, y'all are Hollywood. Y'all a big part of Hollywood. You know what I mean? Like, if they want something done, they can give the green light to it, and it's done. They don't have to struggle to find funds to get things happen If they want a movie done, it's done and it's good. So to trip over an award is really, you know, it's futile. It's a waste of time. Just keep it moving. It wasn't a good movie. So be it. Better luck next time. And then work on the accent a little bit better for the next movie.
I hate you. And for Jada to say, I will not be at the Oscars this year. And Chris, you know, good luck to you. But who's checking for Jada? The only reason you're invited is because of Will.
Exactly. That's true.
Like, Jada, nobody's checking for you. You're not even on, you're never on the best dress list. You know, you guys have, you know, had your long-lasting Hollywood, supposedly, quote-unquote, open relationship, whatever floats your boat, okay? But for you to come out now, out of all things, and then I also hear people are calling out Chris Rock, like he needs to stand up, so he's supposed to stop his check, because y'all mad because Will didn't get dominated for this bad accent.
Right. No, that's not happening. I don't blame Chris. At the end of the day, like she said, like, you know, these actors cannot really come up talking all that. You know, they can't really speak out because you won't be working again. You can be blacklisted. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if that's really, if you really want to be an actor in Hollywood, as hard as it is, especially being a black actor, then obviously you know you need to keep your mouth shut. But you won't be seen again. Like a lot of people, you'd be like, yo, he did that one movie. You ain't never seen him again. You know what I mean? You know, so that's just how that game goes. So it's what it is. But now here's the funny thing. Why don't they start a campaign for Black Lives Matter? Let's go back to that. So let's make sure that schools have funding for this and that and the fourth. It's so many other things that you can use your celebrity and your money for that can really benefit
right.
you. This is not serious. The stupid Oscars, whatever. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
But
it's Oscar.
Like Black Lives
How
Matter.
How many black men you know him, named Oscar?
Exactly. You know, you ain't got the BET Awards for that, you know. To get you that, Soul Train BET Award and be happy. African American Image Award. But I guess the one girl did win, right? Taraji Henson. She won an Oscar, right? Did she not? Or was that
Taraji
not right?
has not won an Oscar.
No,
she did
Taraji
win the Golden Globe. And she won that for television acting, not movies.
Oh, whatever. She won something. So, hey, they can only get... Keep in mind, the last two people, as black people that I remember now, granted, I don't really follow, but was for Halle Berry for Monsters Ball, where she's sleeping with a white man, and Denzel Washington, when he's the baddest cop you ever want to see. So these are the roles for which
there
we win.
There are other blacks that have won Oscars, not for playing a stereotypical negative role. Jennifer Hudson, let me speak.
Okay.
Jennifer Hudson won for Dreamgirls. Mm-hmm. She won for Best Supporting Actress.
Okay. Any other?
And Effie was an overweight, bitter background singer.
She was a stereotype.
Yes.
The fat stereotype. The fat girl.
Monique won for Precious, but of course that was not an actual positive. Monique.
Exactly.
Monique.
So going
Let's
back
find,
to what
can
I
you
said.
Give us, can you give us one that is
positive?
Exactly.
Well, okay.
That's what
well,
I
let's
said.
Think about it. Okay. Let's look. I'll look
yeah.
it up. In America,
okay, well,
won Oscars.
Right. So we'll let you look on that.
America Oscar winners. I'm looking it up right now. I'm list of Black Academy Award
we'll
winners.
Would do it. Don't
All right.
tell
well,
us
Hattie
about
McDaniel,
it.
Hattie McDaniel was the very first one. I knew that. She won for oh my goodness, Going with the Wind,
okay.
But of course she played a mammy. So that
okay.
a mammy. Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's stop it here. Let's just stop it here.
Wait, let's Jenny Portier for Lilies of the Field. I've never seen that. James Earl Jones.
Jenny Portier is he's a lily.
Wait, hope. Wait,
he
Paul
was
Winfield. Did you know Paul Winfield won Oscar? You remember him? He was
Who?
On 227.
Paul
Winfield.
He
died. He was on 227. He was a landlord in the last couple seasons.
Yes. All right. So let's refocus. Yes, we got you. Okay. Hold on, Eric. Let's just refocus. So back to what I was saying. Generally, we only win Oscars for really.
Nominated. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, that just goes back to my point, that generally you shouldn't really waste time if you're an actor, a black actor, trying to get a coveted award like that, because normally it's only given to really outrageous stereotypes. You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it is. So it's not even that deep. But, I mean, you just named the, you know, everybody we named was not the best character. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But nevertheless, he won an Oscar for Ray Charles.
Jamie Foxx won an Oscar for Ray. And
Ray was also a great man, however, a great musician, but he was a heroin addict and a womanizer.
Yes.
Again,
a bad character.
All right. The only woman, who won, there was one that, well, there was women who were nominated, but, you know.
Winner.
They didn't win. Holly's the only one who won for best actress. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to find a positive one. Okay, hold on.
There is
all right,
none.
Louis Gossett Jr. in Office and a Gentleman, he won? That's, no, he was mean. But that was a good movie, though. All right, Denzel won for The Glory.
He was a slave that got beaten half to death.
Cuba Gooding Jr. No, he wasn't a slave. He was in the military in Glory. Cuba Gooding Jr. won for Jerry Maguire.
He got beat like a slave.
Who won for Jerry Maguire?
Cuba Gooding Jr. won for Jerry Maguire.
And he was a dumb jock.
Exactly.
Morgan Freeman won for $1 Million Baby. I didn't see $1 Million Baby. So I don't know. Huh?
Remember that house they lived in? He had the wife and all the kids, everybody, the mama, daddy, uncle, Ty. Everybody was
so
happy when he got that money.
He was a mess. Another bad
thing. All right, so best supporting actor, we know. Hattie McDaniel won. All right.
Stop
saying Hattie McDaniel. I don't know who this woman is.
Whoopi Goldberg won for Ghost.
She was a black
psychic.
A black medium.
A black medium, a con.
That was a negative.
Exactly. She was a con artist.
Shut up. All right, Jennifer
Come
Hudson.
This is a background singer, a hefty background singer.
Octavia Spencer won for The Help. That wasn't good because she put that SHIT in that pie.
She was a maid.
A maid, exactly. She was a maid. And unhappy, she was getting beaten. Her husband was beating her. She was a beaten,
all right,
down,
so
tribal.
To the conclusion, that all of the actors, black actors who have won Oscars, who went to the black acting school, they won for roles
black
that weren't that positive.
That was the point I mean.
Yes.
You just now you made it clear for everybody.
None of them are positive. No.
None of them are positive. So don't waste time trying to win no doggone Oscar unless you're willing to play some crazy. He knew the role was too positive because the man did something good in the movie. Whether he was acting was good or bad, he actually did a good thing, you know, discovering that this was causing, you know, brain injuries and all this other stuff. That's too positive. There ain't way that was going to work. Now, had he discovered, you know, maybe a way to silently
trace
kill
the black man for the AIDS disease. He
he got Oscar no time. See, you know. So yeah, I mean, but think about it now. We just went through all of these different people who were nominated. This is saying something to you, and this is saying something to all of America. Anybody listening to the show, is that anytime we're praised and honored by the so-called white academy, minus this now this girl's in charge of it. But before that, we were honored for things which was discrediting to our race.
I'm surprised they didn't give more to Straight Outta Compton people.
They didn't even get nominated at all. They should have won because that was
hard. They did. They got nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, it was a good movie, though, but it wasn't good.
It was. I enjoyed
it.
It
was a good movie, but what they were doing, you know, I mean, it really wasn't good. Niggas with attitude. But, again, I'm just saying. That's bad right there, you know. You know, but it was a good movie. It's just like Creed, you know what I mean? You know, Sylvester Stallone got the award for God to thank the black director and the bull who starred in the movie.
Right.
Yeah,
here's
true.
My thing. How can you nominate somebody for Best Supporting Actor but not nominate the co-star for Best Lead Actor?
Exactly.
How does that make sense?
Right. It doesn't make sense.
That's crazy.
Well, it makes a lot of sense because if the person didn't do as good a job as the other person, that's just what it is.
Rocky did not outperform.
So that means that everybody who's a supporting actor, they nominate you. Oh, well, we got to just by default nominate the lead actor, even though they didn't really do that great of a job.
Michael B. did a good job in Creed?
I think Michael B. Jordan did a good job. I did. I mean, I don't know if for lead actor, I don't know if it was that great of a job. I like the movie, but I don't even know if Sylvester Stallone deserved an Oscar nod. Like, I don't think it was a riveting, I did enjoy the movie. I think they both did a good job, but I don't know if Sylvester really deserves the Oscar nomination.
Well, I look at it like this. This movie was incredibly successful, not only just because of the black director and Michael B. Jordan's in it, but this actually re-energized his whole Rocky empire. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That whole
That's
thing was pretty much dead. This mm-hmm. took off. This is a great movie. So, like, I don't know how people say it wasn't a great acting job by him. It was a great movie. He was the star of the movie. I don't think I would have enjoyed it just by watching Rocky old behind up here suffering and struggling. You know what I'm saying? I think the movie made a lot of money. This did well in the box office. So how can a movie that does so great with an original screenplay, for the most part, you know what I'm saying, totally revamp the whole series, how does it not get nominated? I think you did a good enough job. I mean,
the movie
it was
should
great.
Have got nominated. The movie, definitely.
The might have Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the point was, how did you forget to thank the director and the star of the
wrong.
Movie to me?
That was wrong.
How you forget? You ain't
wrong.
You told me. Anyway.
He looks bad.
Well, he's 77 years old. I mean, give him a break.
Oh. Yeah, he's had a lot of plastic surgery too, so.
Yeah, I don't blame him. He still want to be in the movies. And why is he
like
still poor? It's speaking of the movie. Why is he still poor? Like, he was the heavyweight champion of the world. He lived in a row house.
I know. I was wondering that too. Like, why is
right.
he still living
still
in this row house? Why?
Right, and it's not like a nice one.
House?
Right,
What's
you don't
happening?
Have a nice one. There's plenty of nice row houses in Philly, and you're still in the old one. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
you own a restaurant.
In the original makeup, original
exactly.
boiler.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah, that was
He's
amazing.
Like, hey, yo, Adrian. That's how you're still living.
Exactly. You got an old restaurant with old food. And the way next to it's never no customers in there. You have. All right, anyway. All right, wow, we did spend a lot of time on entertainment tonight. Hey, it is a great welcome back show. With all of us together, we have about 7 minutes left. So, coming up again, we got Stephanie Mills coming up, Terry Lynn Carrington, and a lot of great singers, actors, whomever, coming up on the Night House Radio Show. What else do we want to touch on before we close it out, folks? We got 7 minutes. What do we want to jump into real quick? Any ideas, ladies?
I'm so happy, though, that we actually got to talk about entertainment. You know, that's my specialty. So I just want to thank you, Timmy, for that.
Of course.
I know it had a little social aspect to it. Thank you for the opportunity, yes. It had a little bit of a social aspect to it, so I'm pretty sure that's the reason why. But we brought a lot of good things to light, you know. We do realize now that everyone who won the Oscar as black did it for a negative role.
That's right.
And you were like, there are some positive actors who were. I'm like,
no. I mean,
no.
You're right. I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong.
No.
Absolutely. Every last one. They played maids. They played slaves. They played, you know, singing in the background. Like, they Nothing positive. Corrupt cops.
Uh-huh.
You know, womanizing blind singers.
Right.
Yeah.
Whores.
Mammies. You name it.
Using.
Mammies. Yeah. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What would you like to see a black person win for? Like, what role?
A role that a white person would accept and take.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Okay.
Where there's no stereotype,
like,
it's a good movie.
Taraji won.
I don't really like that show. I don't really like that show, but I'm glad
fine.
She won.
But she
you
won.
Know,
but
good.
Think about her role, though. Think about her role. And you see what she did when she won? She kind of acted like a
stereotypical.
She was acting like a coon to me because she was giving out them cookies. And then when she got on stage, she was like, yeah, I finally won. Yesterday.
Wait, let's rewind. Let's rewind. Did you say coon?
I did. And I love her. But I was like, why she act like that? Why she knew she was
cool.
Going to win. She had them cookies ready. Really?
Mm.
She
was cool.
Like, oh, no, y'all going to wait for me. Y'all going to wait for me. Oh, I'm going to speak. I'm like, really?
Mm.
Really, Taraji?
Well,
her name is Taraji.
Yeah,
okay.
What do you say? Is she from Compton or something like that?
No.
Let's be serious.
She
got
from Baltimore. Well, that's not even from somewhere in Maryland.
That's worse. She's probably from Baltimore.
What, Maryland is worse?
No, Baltimore. I'm just doing stereotypes.
No, I don't know. She's from Baltimore City.
That's the hood.
No, she's from Maryland.
That's the hood. But anyway, I guess that's true. Look at the character she's playing on the show.
Uh-huh.
But I guess. I mean, it is. I guess this has been turned into an entertainment dissection here today.
Right.
But
I'm trying to think.
And then, here's the funny thing. Now, the head of that show is what's that guy? Who's the director of that?
Lee Daniels.
Lee Daniels.
Right. So he's in control, pretty much, of the image that's going to be projected through these characters to the American people. So, do we blame him? For the, you know, effery, as Puffies would say.
Taraji
you know, like,
is from Washington, D.C., FYI.
Close enough.
Oh, okay.
All right. But, yeah, so when we do have a black director in such position that has a successful show, do we expect them to do more by us black people? Or do we just look at it as entertainment and be like, hey, listen, they do what they got to do to keep the show on and get a check? How should we look at this? Does it even matter? I can't hear nobody. I guess mum's the word, literally.
Well, how do
mum's
you feel, Tim? How do you feel? Answer your own question.
I'm just asking because, you know, I'm working on a screenplay now. Shout out Nighttime Entertainment Films. But, pretty much I am using this opportunity. Always. Now, what I thought about it, because I'm working on a real interesting script that I'm going to plan to bring to life, and then I thought about it as I was writing, and I said, you know what? I could shape this however I want it to be. So we do have control as to what we do with our talent and our creativity. What do you really want to say? Well, you just don't make a movie, you know what I'm saying, just be making a movie. And you just don't do things. You should have a purpose behind it. At the end of the day, what is the takeaway from what I'm doing? And that's where I, like, this move script I'm working on now, I'm trying to make this happen independently. I got two actors. Anyway, but that's what we have to do. And I guess, and I don't know why we think that people won't be entertained if it doesn't have a lot of ratchetness in a show. Like, why can't we write good, you know, television or good movies without it having to be something so outlandish and crazy all the time to think that's the only way we can capture the black audience. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But again, I'm not in Hollywood, so I guess they have bosses too, right?
Well, you're trying to get to Hollywood, so you better figure out the ins and outs.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, well, listen, don't be surprised when I have my ratchet movie out there either, because I had to do what I had to do. I'm trying to get an Oscar. Anyway,
speaking of ratchet movies, I know that Tyler Perry announced that the next Madea movie is going to be about Halloween.
What Halloween?
The theme of the movie is going to be about Halloween.
Oh, that should be interesting. Anyway, we got about 49 seconds left. Tia, say your goodbyes.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. Tonight was a great show. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2016 in the Night House. TV
All right. Erica Chanel.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Tune in for next week. I'm sure it's going to be as interesting as always.
5 seconds. All right. Good night.
Okay.
Everybody.
4, 3.
Next
two,
weekend,
two,
everybody.
One.
Go old, have a good one. God bless.
You did a pick, top a tap that, and your flow so old, granddad.
Bleh.
It's just banter.
Yeah.
I'm way too much like a black cap.
I boss.
What you stop chatting in the club for? Just dance, man. Mm-hmm. Like yo fam alam, yo fam, yo fam alam. And yo girl better than. I'm on the road, caravan. Let me do this fast, Ramadan. Cause it's going down, avalanche. I'ma keep it short, paragraph.
Yeah.
Queen Nisha, my rain, and a rack.
Rain.
Cause you're off Israel, Nazareth. Oh Jesus, oh Lord, oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
A couple of snaky friends, just Adam and Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no debate on who's better.
Come on.
I'll turn a man to a girl like Bruce Jenner. Shout down the dance like. Me rock down the dance like. I be the one they love, I be the dance. They know where I'm from. Oh, 01 to the 21. Yo, brethren, where is your hairline gone? I can't believe it, I can't believe the cheek. Some girls wake up and don't even brush their teeth. That's a dead thing.